came in for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bay route toward the corner. Ends up. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
What's going on, Tampa Bay? So excited to have you here with us on this Monday afternoon, and I have an awesome guest with me today, O.J. Howard. O.J., how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, good. All right, we got to let everybody know. You can ask him all those burning questions I know you have for him. So many different ways to ask them on Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio. You can also do it on the Bucs app under the feature section, or here are your numbers. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. So first of all, I love this first question. We already got in here from Zach, and it's exactly how I was going to open it, so we'll just let Zach do it. He says, first of all, how do you score on seemingly the same exact play every dang time?
Oh, it's just a great play call, you know. Coach does a great job of setting it up. We wait until the right moment in the game. The defense is in the right defense for it, and it works every time almost.
Are you worried now that people are going to start catching on to this? Like, yeah. If we've caught on to this, like, it seems like other people might.
Yeah, exactly. I think, the second time is great. Third time, it's going to take some time. We're going to have to let it go by for a little bit. It'll probably draw it up a different way. But I think people are definitely going to be looking out for it.
Okay, so take me through this play and why you think it keeps working, what your role is in it, all the things that people may not know it takes to pull off a play like this that is so especially focused on misdirection.
Yeah, it's just a naked bootleg. We get the offensive line, all the receivers, everyone except me flowing one way, and I sneak out the backside. And as you guys see all the time, it's always to the right. I come out to the left side. And, it's just one of those plays where the defense have to have very, disciplined eyes, and they lose their discipline. And the tight end sneaks out backside.
So is there a reason it always has to go one direction, or could we maybe try it the other direction and maybe that mix it up a little bit?
Also, you can go the other way. It all depends on, which way, you want your quarterback to roll out. It works both ways. But so far we've ran it one way.
And you keep being so wide open on it. And I have to imagine that that is almost more terrifying than having like people draped all over you when the ball comes at you. How do you keep that focus in that moment, knowing that there is literally nothing between you and the end zone?
Oh, it's one of the hardest catches in football. Wide open. You just think, I can't drop this. Everything's going through your mind, but you just got to look it in. It's so open, and those are the hardest catches, but usually, 99% of the time, guys come down with them, but sometimes it can get kind of tough.
How aware are you of how open you are in that moment?
I just saw everyone flow into the left side of the field for the defense, and I looked back, kind of, and it's like nobody's near me, and Jameis found me wide open once again.
And you basically doubled your NFL touchdown total in one game. That's pretty great.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd had one so far. You got two yesterday. And I know that obviously your first career touchdown will forever have a special place in your heart. So how was it then to start feeling like this could be a regular thing for you?
It's exciting. Whenever you get to score touchdowns and celebrate with your teammates is always fun. That's the part of the game. You want to score and have fun. It makes it a lot of fun to come to work every day.
All right, well, let's listen to it. Here's how it sounded on the radio.
Play action fake to the naked bootleg by Winston. Looks downfield. Goes the throwback for wide open receiver at the 5-yard line. Make the catch, and it's a touchdown, Tampa Bay. O.J. Howard has two catches today for touchdowns. He was wide open. Was that the New York Giants defense?
All right, I love that. So, first of all, for everybody who can't see, O.J. is smiling really big right now. So tell me how cool that is to get to hear the radio call. Obviously, that's not a thing you get to hear.
No, it's not. It's really exciting, just to hear all the enthusiasm, from the caller. And, that's awesome. Like you said, I don't get to hear that part of the football game, but definitely exciting.
Yeah, that's a guy that Jameis Winston's rather familiar with. Gene Deckerhoff calls the Florida State games and the Bucs games. And it's pretty funny because everyone comes to know and love hearing Gene say their name in that specific way. There is something you're right about getting to hear Gene say your voice that is pretty awesome. So for you looking at that game, obviously the ending was not what you guys had hoped for. And it just seems like that had to be a really tough one for you guys to have fought your way back, take the lead, and then lose the way that you did. So what was the mentality in the locker room after the game and knowing how now that you guys have today gone through film, gone through meetings, and talked about the way that you're going to move forward?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, a lot of missed opportunities early in the game. And, you know, we felt like that was kind of what happened to us. Now we know that we have to start stacking up some W's. We're about to go into league play. So definitely had to come out with, you know, some wins. But we all know that how the NFL goes. You know, 1 week you could have two losses in a row, but 5 or 6 in a row could be wins coming up soon. So we all know what it takes. It's in our hands, and that's a good thing about it.
And we have our question from Corey over here, who's in Japan, which is so awesome. Thanks for tuning in, Corey. And he said, first off, I want to say great game yesterday. And how does it feel to have a 2-TD game?
Thank you for that. But it feels amazing. You know, it's hard to sometimes score one touchdown in a game. To get two, that's amazing. And, you know, it doesn't happen often. So when it does happen, you have to be very excited about it. So I'm definitely excited about that.
And his second part of the question was, how does it feel to play with somebody like Jameis?
Tremendous. You know, Jameis is a true competitor, and, you know, he brings passion every week, and, you know, he's a great quarterback. You know, when you have a guy like that, it's hard to find those guys, you know, around the league. So when you have the opportunity to play with a guy of that caliber, I think you have to embrace it and enjoy every moment.
And so what was it like when you obviously knew who he was before you mm-hmm. got here. So making that transition from just knowing of him to knowing him and now playing with him so closely, what was that transition like and what did you learn about him?
It was a huge transition for me. You know, I went to college and, you know, we had great quarterbacks at my college. But I think that Jameis was set apart was the way he's such a leader and, you know, he expresses his voice every day on the field. He knows the game so well. He can tell you how to get up on the route, where he's going to throw the ball, how he's looking forward to you running it. And once I got that chemistry down with him and just started listening to what he was saying, and, you know, it amazed me. You know, I knew him as a person, you know, before, you know, but I never knew him as a football player because I never had a chance to play with him. But now that I know him as both, it's amazing.
And how long do you think it took you to get that chemistry down, like you mentioned? Yeah. How long was it before you really mm-hmm. felt like, all right, we got this now?
Wow. You know, we're getting better every week. And, I think it still can do have some improvement. But, you know, it took a while. I think all through camp, a couple games in the season, you know, it just took time. You know, he had to see me in live games. You know, I had to use his arm in live games. And I think once we did that, it started to become more natural.
We're here with O.J. Howard, and you can continue to submit your questions in using that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or in the Bucks app under the feature section or call in. So first, you know, everybody knows you as being from Alabama. I think that's such a huge part of being where you're from and also where you played in school. So what was it about the University of Alabama that made you just know you had to go there? Was it just because you're from there and you can't not go there if you have mm-hmm. the chance growing up there?
It came down to like Auburn, Alabama, and Florida. But what set Alabama apart from those schools were that whenever I would go visit, it just felt like home already, you know, with the players and the coaches, you know, already feeling like, you know, I knew them already. You know, I would go visit every home game. I was always up there. So at the end of the day, it came down to that was the place I needed to go. My heart just felt like I was already welcome.
And a lot of people talk about how it's run like a pro franchise almost. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that did to prepare you for making the transition to the NFL playing there as compared to maybe some smaller schools?
It was huge for me. You know, our coach every day would stress that, you know, whenever guys started to question what he was doing, he would just say, hey, if you get to the next level, this is how it's going to be ran, maybe even stricter. So it definitely was a big advantage for me. Coach Saban did a great job of preparing us for the NFL, and he always told us it would be that way.
And what were the similarities and differences in playing in college as compared to the pros? The things that really have stood out to you is, you know what, this isn't that different. And, mm-hmm. and the things that are, oh, wow, this is really different.
Yeah. So I would just say some similarities is at the end of the day, it's still football. You have to go out there and make plays, run great routes. You have really good players, just like, you know, playing against the top SEC teams every weekend and week out. But what's different is I think the NFL, what makes it different from college is every week you're playing a player who's either A or B. You know, you're not playing any players that are kind of below that. In college, you can kind of have a drop-off sometimes in depth. But in the NFL, every week, you're playing an A-level player or a B-level player, and it doesn't, you know, that it's pretty hard.
You seem like a player that your size has always been a huge advantage for you. Mm-hmm. Was that something that when you got to the NFL still felt like an advantage, or was it all of a sudden, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, they're all giant people out here?
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm a big guy, in college you can get away with that just playing with strength and size. But in the NFL, if you have strength and size, it could be an advantage, but you still have to use your details. And that's what I have to learn. It comes down to the little details. And once you can use the small things and then put it together with your size, you know, it makes you a really good player.
Have there been moments so far like that where you'd thought, man, back in college, this would have worked for me, and it didn't work here?
Absolutely, absolutely. The little things like run game, little techniques, also in the passing game, just running by guys with speed, you know, it may not work that way in the NFL. You have to set up a route. You know, you have to have great technique. Guys, everybody's fast. In the NFL, everybody's smart. So you have to use everything that you're being coached to do.
Do you remember a moment in particular that felt like you were sort of welcome to the NFL moment? A lot of people will talk about that, of like the first time they either got smoked by somebody. Have you had one of those?
Oh, absolutely. I would say preseason, you know, just my second preseason game against the Jaguars. So I played Calais Campbell. He's a huge guy, DN. Having to run block him for like a whole week at joint practice was like...
That's just cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, exactly. He's the NFL sack leader right now. And then run blocking him, pass blocking him, and look at him now. You know, he's still doing that right now. He's really tough and a good player.
So did it make you feel like, okay, I deserve to be here, that there was a moment of, oh my gosh, this is tough, but also, hey, I stayed with it. I held my own.
Absolutely. You know, I knew it was going to be tough. You know, I knew of his, resume from when he was in Arizona. Like you said, I held my own. And, you know, even he told me that after the joint practices that, you know, I thought I did a good job and keep improving. So whenever a guy tells you that, you know, you take it, you know, and you just run with it and you keep working hard.
Yeah, that's got to mean the world to you. Have there been other people in the league so far that have said things to you either that are on the opposing side of the ball from you like him, or maybe guys at your same position?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've talked to Zach Miller. We played the Bears earlier this year. He told me to keep working hard. Odell Beckham Jr., he talked to me. You know, it's always guys that'll come up to you and encourage you. You know, that's how it is. And, you know, whenever you can hear guys say that to you, I think it's very encouraging.
I want to hear if there are some of those guys that you're starstruck by. Whenever we come back here, we're going to take a quick break. You can keep sending in those questions. Use that hashtag Bucks Radio for Twitter. You can also do it on the Bucks app under the feature section or call in. Buccaneers Total Access with O.J. Howard, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Doug Martin is the setback. Play action fake. Winston throwing back to the left. It is a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. And O.J. Howard has his second career touchdown grab. What a call.
Oh, I love it. What a call. It's got to just be so exciting to hear. Is it still weird to realize that, like, you're in the NFL? Like, that is you scoring touchdowns in the NFL.
It is. Definitely weird still. You know, it was one of those things you always dreamed of as a kid, and then now to finally talk about it with all your friends, like, man, you're scoring touchdowns in the NFL. That's amazing. So it's very exciting.
That's awesome. All right, we still want to give all of you the chance to ask OJ all of your questions. Send them in on Twitter, hashtag Bucks Radio, the Bucks app under the feature section, and here are your phone numbers. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. I like this question here from Dennis. OJ, who wins a game of dominoes or chess between you and Cam Brate?
I would probably say dominoes myself. Chess, Cam.
Okay, yeah. Why?
I played dominoes a little bit growing up, and that's what we do a lot in Alabama, where I'm from. Play dominoes a lot. I never really played chess. I've tried once or twice in middle school, but I feel like Cam would probably definitely beat me in that.
Yeah, Harvard seems like the place where they'd be able to play chess. Yeah. Like, they'd know a thing or two about that. We'll have to check with him about that. All right, so before the break, we were talking about you getting some words of wisdom and advice and encouragement from some other guys around the league. So I wanted to hear, have there been any people that you've either played with or against now that you've had sort of that starstruck feel about, that you're now on the same field as them?
Oh, yeah. When we first got to play with Deshaun, when I first got to play with Deshaun Jackson, you know, that was kind of cool. You know, I've always seen this guy on, you know, scoring touchdowns with Philly in the playoffs, that big punt return he had, playing with him on the video game. And now to be on the same field with him, it was kind of, like, amazing. I was just sit back and just think about it sometimes still.
Did you feel like you were kind of, like, weird or awkward talking to him? Like, you were like, play it cool, man. Like, don't act like you're supposed to be here.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely, like, week one, you know, filling everybody out. There's D-Jack, you know, but he's super cool, laid back. You know, you never have to worry about that with him. But he definitely goes through your mind when you first meet him.
Like, I want to be cool. I want him to like me.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome. And what about, like, why you chose your number? I know you were 88 in college and 80 here. So was it the Luke Stalker had already gotten the 88 here?
No, Luke was cool. He was down to give it to me, for a good little price. But, I wanted new beginnings. I thought about a lot of guys that were number 80 in the NFL, and it's a good number. It looked good, and, you know, I just felt like, hey, let's start over. Let's start something new.
I like that. That's pretty cool. And then how about some of those adjustments making coming to the NFL besides your number, things that you kind of – part of that new beginnings. What were the big things that you felt like you needed to change or do a little bit differently once you got here?
Just my daily routine, you know, as far as, in college, you're on such a schedule, going to class, what time you work out. You know, here in the NFL, it's all about you. You know, you have to set your own schedule when you're going to work out, how many days a week. And once I figured out how to do that, I feel good now. But at first, that was kind of a hard adjustment for me.
And we have our first caller here. We have Randy from Sarasota. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, hey, just a shout out. What's up, Bojack?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Listen, I'm originally from Alabama, and I've been in Florida here now. I'm in Sarasota, a little bit south of Tampa, for about 20, 25 years. So I've been a Bucs fan ever since. And when they drafted you, my friend, I jumped off the couch. About broke my leg. I was so happy, man. I'm a huge, huge Alabama fan. I've been watched you for 8 years. All 8 years you played at Alabama, and you're an awesome guy. You're a great gentleman. And, I'm just a pleasure to be able to talk to you and give you a shout-out. I tweeted about you last night congratulating you on your two NFL touchdown catches. And I just hope that good things are yet to come for us for having you on our team, man.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it, man.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Randy. You guys got them loyal fans down there in Alabama.
Yeah.
That is for sure. All right, we have another caller. We have Phil down there at MacDill Air Force Base. How's it going, Phil?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, so thanks for taking my call. Hey, OJ, it's great to talk to you again. Welcome to Tampa. Glad you're adjusting well, and congratulations on those two touchdowns yesterday, man. It was awesome to see it. I hope it keeps going.
Thank you.
The question that I have for you, though, is, you know, right now, you know, unfortunately, we're 2-4, and, you know, we're hearing a lot of rumblings in the locker room. You know, especially even last night's loss, that people are just getting really frustrated. I wanted to get your take on, you know, what is the sense of personal accountability within the locker room, and you know, how are you guys dealing with this right now? I mean, we had a lot of really big expectations coming into this season, and it's starting to slowly look like it's teetering towards the other edge, and we don't, you know, we're worried. So I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, so, you know, to answer your question, I just think, you know, we all want to win. You know, that's everybody's goal, to come out and win games. We had a couple of tough losses, and it hurts. But at the end of the day, we know how it can be. You have two losses in a row. But like I was saying earlier on the show, you can have 5 or 6 wins in a row. But the good thing about it is we get another opportunity next Sunday to get one win, and let's just start stacking them up. And that's what we all have to do, just stick together. Everybody, you know, just stay focused. Let's keep working hard. We had a great week of practice last week. We do it again this week. We're going to get a win.
All right, and looking forward to this next week. Actually, I thought this would be interesting for you that, you know, Greg Olsen is who you get to be sort of playing against, and it might be the next time you guys play them in the league this season. He might be back. He's on the IR right now. But I know there's a weird coincidence with you two with your 40 time. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
That he might have commented on that whenever you got it. So for people who don't know, tell them a little bit about that coincidence there.
So, I ran a 4.51 at the combine, and Greg also ran a 4.51. So it was the fastest 40 time ever by a guy my size, 6'6", 250 plus. And that's what the tweet was. And Greg was like, hold on, it's a tie.
It's a tie.
It's a tie for the first. It's a tie for first place between me and him. And me and Greg caught a flight home later that day, and, you know, we laughed about it, still talked about it, and, you know, he's a good guy. I like Greg.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Do you find yourself wishing, like, man, one hundredth of a second faster?
All the time. Yeah. Even that second 40, I wish I would have known so I could have broken the record and had it all by myself. But, hey, he's up there with a great guy, and, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure people don't quite realize just how big you are. Do you get that a lot when people meet you in person?
All the time. They always think I play basketball at first. So, you know, honestly, me being my height in basketball would be probably like a point guard. Or, you know, I wouldn't be much of what people think. But, yeah, everybody always thinks I'm pretty big.
That's true. It's all relative based on which sport you're playing. And you did play basketball back in the day. You know, you definitely played baseball. You've said that that was your first love. Is that accurate? Was it because you played it first or you actually loved it more at first?
I loved baseball more at first. You know, it was – I played it first also, but I just loved it. You know, it was nothing better than, you know, getting up there, hitting home runs, you know, making great plays in the outfield. I just thought that was cool. But, you know, as I got older, you know, I started seeing, you know, football becoming more of my sport. And, you know, now I love football to death.
And do you remember that you actually batted left-handed?
That's right.
And you golf left-handed? Is that accurate as well? And
yep.
But are you, what do you call yourself? Are you right or left-handed?
I'm right-handed though.
So how'd this happen? Was this intentional?
It was intentional. So, you know, I was a young guy. My dad, he told me that he felt like I could be a great left-handed hitter because I wasn't really looking too good or comfortable on the right side. He switched me up at a young age and then, you know, it just became natural from there.
And we actually had Doug Martin on a show recently, and he talked about how he played basketball, and he felt like it actually helped him with his football career in some ways. Were there things about those other sports you played that you think made you a better football player, especially maybe being able to use both hands pretty well?
Absolutely. I think that also with just the hand-eye coordination, you know, it takes a lot of that to play baseball. You know, if you can hit a baseball, I think, you know, you should be able to catch a football, you know, as far as, you know, being a little bigger. Always, you know, those sports kind of go together always.
All right, we have a question here from Jerry, and he says, have you ever spoken with Ozzie Newsome, another Alabama stud tight end who I watched play for the Browns as a kid? If your career is close to his, you'll be a star.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. Talk to Ozzie a lot. You know, he's a great guy. You know, he definitely, you know, has told me a lot. You know, I've had a chance to sit down with him and talk to him about, you know, the NFL before I even thought about coming out. You know, on my junior year, I just, you know, I called him up and, hey, I really want to talk to you about, you think it's a great idea if I should come out early or not. And, you know, he just kept it honest with me. And that's what I like about him. He's not going to tell you something to make you feel great, but he's going to be honest with you because he's a good friend. And Ozzie Newsome's a great player, but an even better person.
That's awesome. And then Steven has a question. How do the crowds compare from the SEC to the NFL?
It's tough, you know, that college crowd is just it's bigger stadium, you know. So when it's a bigger stadium, it's really loud, and you know the NFL has great crowds. You know, you go on the road, you really can't hear, kind of like we were yesterday in Buffalo. It's really loud at times. Even at Raymond James when we play, it's pretty loud. So, but that college atmosphere is totally different. You know, it's a really big stadium, so it's really loud.
All right, and then Sam wants to know, he says, I'm an Ole Miss and Bucks fan and have always noticed your great blocking skills. You've had a breakout pass-catching game later in college, and then it seems like obviously in the start of your NFL career, you're also off to a great start there. What do you think you can take from these recent games to hopefully become one of Jameis's favorite pass catchers moving forward?
I would just say just to keep improving every day, you know, as far as route running, polishing it up. You know, you have to give Jameis a reason to throw you the ball, you have to become open, you know, to start off. And, you know, once Jameis see that he can trust you and gain confidence in you, and, you know, I think that's what makes it go a long way.
What have you seen that makes it work between him and Cam, and what about that can apply to you or is a little bit different in terms of who you both are?
The trust. You know, I think him and Cam has that trust. You know, it's sometimes where, you know, there's a guy on Cam, you know, probably playing great coverage, but Jameis trusts Cam to make the play. And I think once you can get that connection with your quarterback, it's no play that you can't make.
That's huge. That's very true. It's funny. One of the big differences between the two of you was that crowd size you were talking about. He's talked about at Harvard there being just like a couple hundred people in the stands maybe when he was playing, and what an adjustment that was. So I think that's got to be kind of entertaining for you guys. So whenever you were a kid, maybe you're playing all these different sports, what were some of the athletes that you looked up to and really wanted to model your games after in the different sports and particularly football?
Oh, yeah. In football, I was always a Tony Gonzalez fan. You know, I thought the way he played the game and the way he did it every week was amazing. He was the epitome of a pro. You know, he was a great run blocker. He ran great routes. He made plays that counted, you know, the most when you needed them. So Tony Gonzalez definitely as a football player was a guy I always watched.
That's got to be cool. How do you feel like your career has grown now to where you feel like this is a thing you could achieve? I mean, I know as a kid you think, mm-hmm. oh, I want to be Tony Gonzalez, but like, you're yeah. in the NFL now where you have it in your power to become that. Have you yeah. thought about that?
Always, yeah. You know, I always, you know, sit back and watch those guys before me who are really good players and study film on them, see what they did to become great players. It's no secret to how to get to the top. You have to put in the hard work to get there. And, you know, Tony Gonzalez, he stayed late, you know, after practice. He came early before practice. And that's what it takes to become great.
You've already had so many huge moments in your career, whether it's, you know, being drafted first round and you've already gotten touchdown in the NFL, but back in college, even national championship and just playing huge moments. You get to have a parade in your hometown.
Yeah.
Did I hear that maybe there's even a road being named after you outside your high school?
It was a street named after me. It was.
That's got to have just been so crazy.
Yeah, it was. That whole week and that whole year was just amazing. The way my family and friends supported me back home after that game and just – you know, it was awesome, you know, and then even we had the draft party back at home. That's the reason why, you know, I figured to stay at home because it would be amazing to be around those people who was always there for me. So it's just tremendous back home.
And you had such an interesting route back home in terms of your high school career that, in case people haven't heard the story, that you ended up having to switch which high school you were going to go to just a matter of a couple weeks, I think, before your freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that story? How did that develop and how do you feel like that changed your high school career?
I went from going to a 6A high school powerhouse, you know, they're ranked nationally. And, you know, a couple weeks before the season started, I've been training with them all year long in this off-season program. You know, we had to change schools because our house got rezoned for a different school district. To leave that school and go to a small private school was a big change for me. But at the end of the day, it was no matter where you go, if you put in the hard work, they'll find you. And that was what happened to me. So, you know, I love it that it happened to me at that age so I can overcome some adversity. Wouldn't want it to happen any other way.
What do you think it did for who you are as a man and as a football player?
It definitely molded me to become strong. You know, it let me know that you have to put in the hard work, you know, overcome obstacles. Don't let anything slow you down. Also, if you want something, you have to go out and get it. And, you know, that's what it showed me at the age of 17.
And you definitely had some strong family roots in that area. I've heard of, is it Laura's Country Kitchen?
That's
is
right.
that what it's called? Your grandmother made some pretty famous biscuits and pies, I hear. Is that true?
It is. Every morning she would have the biscuits, sausage biscuits, bacon, egg, and cheese, anything you wanted. You know, they're really good. And then a sweet potato pie is not many better than that, you know. So it was just an amazing business. You know, when it shut down, a lot of people were upset, but it lasted for a while, and it was good while it lasted.
And you would get up at 4:30 in the morning to be helping her?
4:30 in the morning, I would, you know, get up with her just to help her open the doors up and just to turn on the lights and just be there for her, you know, just to try to see how it felt for her to be there. You know, she worked hard, and, you know, I think at that young age, that helped me to this day, you know, just seeing her put in all the hard work to do something that she loved.
And tell me you learned how to make these biscuits and pies.
I can make the biscuits. The pies, I can't do. My mom, she can. But I can't. I'll let her stick to that. You know, it takes the right amount of everything to make that pie as good as hers was.
Probably a good thing considering you're trying to be an athlete right now. You don't need to be able to make pies anytime you need to. All right, we're at about the halfway mark here in Buccaneers Total Access with O.J. Howard. You can keep sending in those questions on Twitter, #BucksRadio, also under the Bucks app in the feature section, and you can also call in. Also wanted to let you know about this awesome opportunity we have. We are hosting an online charity auction with Moffitt Cancer Center, and you can bid on 4 incredible prizes like a trip to the Green Bay game, VIP tickets to the Monday night game, a behind-the-scenes tour of One Buccaneer Place with 4 tickets to a game of your choice, and a Doug Martin VIP game day experience where you get tickets, sideline passes, a Doug Martin autographed jersey, and game-worn cleats. To see more details on these incredible experiences, and you can start bidding on them, go to Buccaneers.com/Moffitt or text BUCKS to 79230. Buccaneers Total Access with O.J. Howard brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
We are still here rolling with O.J. Howard. You still have time to get your Twitter questions in using that #BucksRadio. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section or call in. All right, our next question comes from Nate. He says he was at the game in Buffalo yesterday, was hoping for a win for his birthday, but he said you can make it up to him with a win next week. Thanks, Nate. We appreciate that. And he just wanted to tell you, great job on the touchdowns, and there's bigger things in the future for you. So thanks for that note, Nate.
Thank you.
All right, and then Chris said, yesterday we got to see what the real O.J. Howard can do, and hopefully what we saw is here to stay. Is that true? You think that's fair? Real O.J. here to stay?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, and then this is actually great based on what we were just talking about in the break. Anthony says, do you prefer pizza or donuts?
Donuts.
Okay, so donuts. So tell me what you were just saying in the break about this food item that you want to try.
I saw that at our stadium, at Raymond James Stadium, they have this breakfast burger with a donut on top and some other items inside of that. It looks really good. So I definitely have to try that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would take to get one of those.
I mean, I think it seems like you probably know people who could get you one of these at the stadium. You know, I think this is where you remember that now that you're in the NFL, like you got connections,
yeah.
You
right.
could probably hook this up. But yeah, it's a burger with ham and like a fried egg. And then instead of a bun, it has a donut for a bun. And you're saying that like you would crush this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this makes me happy because I said the same thing and I got made fun of like crazy saying that people thought they weren't sure that that sounded as good. But I'm glad to hear that you're on the right side of this.
Right.
However, I've also heard that you may not have always made the greatest food choices in your life. Is it true you used to eat 2 Snickers bars after dinner?
Absolutely. I love Snickers.
That is insane.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, I just need that sweet. You know, after my dinner, so.
But, like, there's Need Sweet and there's 2 whole Snickers bars. Like, I hope you understand that most people, I need a little sweet is, like, a bite of candy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you went 2 full Snickers bars.
2 of them. I loved them. Every baseball game before, every football game.
Wait, before?
Before the game, I just needed a Snickers just for good luck. You know, it was a tradition, so I just kept
it
going.
You're like Marshawn Lynch with the
Skittles.
With Skittles over there. So in other words, we need to get you a Snickers sponsorship right now.
Absolutely.
Maybe we don't, because then you'd be having free ones and who knows how many you'd eat.
That's right. That is true.
So did you give it up? Is that what I heard a while back? Or
I have gave it up. I go with the minis now. If I just want, I'll just get the little minis.
It's a reasonable
eat
size.
Eat a couple.
It's like your nicotine patch for it over there. So, I mean, is it all sweets? Is it just Snickers? Like, what's the deal here?
Just mainly Snickers. You know, I love them. I don't know where age it started at. I guess that young age when I was first doing it when I was younger. And now it just became a habit.
So do you still have any, like, things like this, like vices now where, like, you eat a bunch of stuff that, like, you shouldn't? Or, like, have you gotten pretty good about eating healthier now?
I'm a little disciplined. But some days you have those cheat days where you're like, all right, whatever.
Let's cheat day for you. Go. What is it? Ultimate cheat day.
Oatmeal pie for the sweets, a burger, and fries. I mean, there's just – don't get any easier than that.
That's pretty good. I like that. Yeah. So, children, if you want to grow to be 6'6", 250, just eat Snickers all the time.
That's right.
What I'm hearing.
Snickers and milk.
Forget vegetables. Like, just growing up with Snickers. That's pretty great. So, for you – you are just, it's crazy what good shape you're in. And you showed all these videos of your 40 time you talked about. It's the best of anyone your size. And you did the 60 mile per hour jugs machine. You were like flipping weights with your hands. Like, were these all videos you did to like show off before the draft? Or were these actual things you did on a normal basis?
These were things we did on a normal basis. You know, we were doing it before, me and a couple of my friends, we were doing it all during the draft process. And then finally, you know, we signed up for this thing called Fox Procast. And they were like, put the videos on a video, people can see them. So we started doing it for the fans, but before that, we were already doing it, you know. So that's why when the tape was rolling live, we were good at it, you know, because we had already been doing it for a while.
That's pretty cool. All right, we had a question from Chris come in. This is going to be tough for you, based on who you said you grew up watching. He said, who's better, Antonio Gates or Tony Gonzalez?
I mean, you want to go stats, you got to go Antonio, but I think Tony G, you know, just because of the all-around, you know, tight end that he is, you know, and a lot of people would agree, you know, he's an all-around tight end. He does it all, and he did it for a long time, too, and Antonio's still playing, of course, but I would have to say Tony Gonzalez.
And you might know a thing or two about that whole all-around tight end thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you pick him because that's the kind of tight end you are, or is that why you're the kind of tight end you are, is that you appreciated him?
Exactly. I appreciate what he did, you know, because that's the tight end I want to become, you know, eventually in this league all around. And I think when you're able to be all around tight end, you know, it just makes it your job easier and it just makes people respect it a lot more.
We had a question from John. He said that Peyton Manning changed the culture of the Colts when he was drafted. Since you are a national champion from Bama, do you think you have the capability of changing the culture of the Bucs for the better and helping turn around this dominant franchise?
That's the goal. Whenever you come into a franchise like this, I think it is the team drafts you because they think you can be a game changer and a franchise changer. And, you know, that doesn't mean I have to go out and do too much. I just do my job. And when we put all that together, everybody does their job, we're going to be great. So that's the goal, to come in and help our franchise get to where we want to be. And that's to be a Super Bowl champion.
That's got to be hard to go from being, you know, senior stud star of a national championship team, and then you go to being a rookie.
Yep.
Again, it's like freshman year all over again.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
How has that gone for you in terms of your personality and your presence on the field, at practice, in the locker room?
Yeah, I just kind of try to, like, look back at the times that it happened to me before. So I'm big on that. I think once you overcome something before, you always look back on it as a learning experience. And sometimes you look back on it to say, hey, I know how this happened before, so I'm not going to let it happen again. And that's what I do. I just look at it as an opportunity for me to be, you know, a guy that just sits back sometimes and, you know, listen to older guys because they know, you know, how to help me and what goes on. So that's what I do every day.
All right, we've got our next caller. And if I have this right, which caller I think it is, I just met you yesterday. Tommy from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Is that you?
Oh, boy. Hello, Miss Katie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
Hello, Mr. OJ. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, boy. I got home about an hour ago. We just had a long ride home, a good seven-hour ride, but I made it home. And, I'm out here taking my baby for a walk. I had to get my dog, and I said, I heard the show was on. I said, I got to try to call you. So I know Mr. Jay Richard. So Jay said, I'm going to put you right on. So I said, Miss Case, it was a pleasure to meet you yesterday. So I said, I'm not crazy. I'm just nuts.
That's awesome. What's your question, Tommy?
Well, I want to tell OJ, I was right on the 10-yard line when he made the catch. The first catch, I don't know, was that the same area you caught the first touchdown? Because I was upstairs.
Oh, you were upstairs on the first one, but the second one you saw?
Right, you were right in front of me. You were right in front of me. I'm saying, oh, God, man, don't drop it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are the hardest ones when it's in the air forever.
You were so open, man, and I'm saying, oh, God, man, we got to win this game. And I know it was a tough loss, but I'm so glad the Bucs that drafted you, you and Jameis are going to put up a lot of big catches. And I know you guys are frustrated, but just hang in there. You guys got a good young team, and I hope everything's going to settle in with the coaches, and you guys are going to just do well. So you're a good guy. I listen to you on the radio. I know you come from good family, and I know you're going to be with the Bucs a long time. So keep plowing away. I also sent you a shirt. Did you get a 9/11 shirt?
No, I didn't. No, I did not get one.
Oh, boy, you better go check the boys. I sent one down. I sent a bunch of them down, and I know I put your name on it because you were one of the big draft choices. But I'll look for another one. Maybe I'll send them down with Mrs. Casey's package so maybe she could forward it to you. But just good chatting with you. Just stay positive. And Miss Case, you'll be hearing from me. So you guys stay well, and I'll let somebody else get on. Okay.
Right, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Tommy, so much. Yeah, we'll definitely be checking that mailroom. I've got to meet Tommy right before the game yesterday, and a big fan from New Jersey drove all the way over for the game. We love seeing that. There were a lot of Bucs fans there, which is pretty awesome. Is that cool to see that there are fans already traveling all over the country to be at games as far away as, you know, what, Arizona had a huge group, and, you know, it doesn't matter, West Coast, East Coast, wherever you are, there's Bucs fans out there.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. I love to see that, and, you know, let's keep it up.
All right, so before that call, we were talking a little bit about your personality in the locker room. Now that you're a rookie, I want to hear about you in the tight end room. And there's some very diverse personalities in that little room. So so tell people a little bit about each of those guys that you're in there with and where you've sort of fit in that group.
Yeah, so we have the French-Canadian, Anthony Auclair. He's our guy. You know, we learn different languages from him. He teaches us different, you know, words in French.
Wait a minute. So, he has taught you guys some French.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's hear it. This is your test, pop quiz.
Shansu, which means lucky.
Oh, I like that.
So that's the only one I remember.
That's all
means lucky. We have the Harvard grad, Cam Breit. You know, Cam's a great guy, you know. We have Luke, the coach, within the coach. So, you know, the player within the coach, Luke's a, you know, he's out there and on the field, which is like basically another coach with you. And then we have Alan Cross, which we call Huncho. He's the biggest personality in the room. This guy's super funny, you know, laid back. You know, I love Alan. You know, great story, great guy.
Yeah, definitely the Southern guy, which being from Alabama, I'm sure, you know, you knew a lot of guys a little bit like Alan growing up.
Exactly.
Yep, I figured. That's pretty awesome. And I also know that in the tight end room, you guys get fined for really random things.
Yeah.
So, and I know you keep track of who's been fined the most.
Yeah.
How are you doing in this area?
I'm fined the most. So.
You are winning slash losing, depending on how you want to look at it.
Exactly.
You look at it as losing. The rest of them look at it as winning.
Yep.
So, what have you done, man? Like, what's going on?
What haven't I done? That's the question. So, I've done everything from, you know, we take crazy questions in the room. If you just have a question about something that has nothing to do with film, that's a fine. You know, it's from anything.
Basically a fine for being ADD in film session.
Yep. So fine for that. You know, we also keep it within football, drops at practice, you know, those type of things. So, but I've been fined for a lot of things.
Is wardrobe one of them? Have I heard that can be a thing that you get fined for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's actually breaking dress code or just like, we don't like what you're wearing.
We don't like what you're wearing. Fine. So, I mean, it's a fine for anything's finable.
That's it. And do you feel like this maybe you're getting like picked on as a rookie?
No, not really, because most of my fines were kind of finable, except two. I had a question about two of them, but most of them are finable offenses.
Can you appeal? I mean, if you have questions about these.
You can. You know,
who do you appeal to?
The whole room. Everybody raises their hand. You have a couple guys that say, that's a fine, or you have one guy that says it's not. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get fined.
Are you, like, by a large margin getting fined the most?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you're like, you're out in front.
Yeah, I'm out in front.
No one's catching you.
By a couple 400, 500 bucks.
Oh, no. That's so terrible. And then what? The money at the end.
We go to dinner at the end of the year.
At least you're not going to totally lose it. Like, you get to eat off of it a little bit, treat your guys a little bit. I love that. That's awesome. All right. We got one more segment coming up here with OJ Howard. So keep getting those questions in. Use that hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter or the Bucks app under the feature section, or you can call in. Buccaneers Total Access with OJ Howard, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in to Buccaneers Total Access with OJ Howard. This is our final segment here, so get those last-minute questions in. Hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. Also use the Bucs app under the feature section or give us a call in. All right, we got a question from Rich here. He says, what's it like to see yourself on Madden for the first time?
Amazing, because I love Madden. You know, I couldn't not play with myself, you know, for the first couple weeks it came out. We had a really solid team, you know, really solid score on Madden. I think our rating's at 81 right now.
Yeah, where did you rank on first-round draft picks? I heard you were one of the highest ranked, number two.
I was number two behind Myles Garrett.
That's pretty good. Yeah, so you had to be pretty pumped about that.
I was.
Most people are not happy with their Madden ratings. And over there like, I'll take it.
I'll take it. I was pretty upset about some of the, you know, awareness and things like that. Blocking was way down, like 63. I'm like,
you're like, what?
Oh, wow. Yeah, so.
So still some areas you needed to prove them wrong in.
That's right.
I feel like awareness, they usually do just give rookies like terrible ones. Like, do you remember what your awareness was?
I don't, but it was low.
Like how low? Like,
I'm talking about maybe like 71.
Okay, well, they gave Kwon like I think it was like a 51 or something for awareness when he was a rookie. He was very bitter about this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm convinced it's why he ended up becoming a starter so quickly. I had to prove them wrong on this. And I think I saw that Zay Jones, who we just played against, had maybe told you weren't that great at Madden, that I saw someone was saying they couldn't think of anything negative to put on your scouting report coming out of college. And he responded to this like journalist or someone was like, he sucks at Madden.
Yeah, exactly. And me and Zay trained together. I don't think he ever beat me, so. You know,
wow.
And,
so he's trash talking without backing it up.
That's right.
That's pretty funny. So you think you're pretty good at it?
I am. Absolutely.
All right. Who on the team? Have you played anybody on the team?
I haven't.
Played against anybody?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Was it weird to see yourself in Madden for the first time?
It was. Because, you know, I always played it as a kid. Like, my dad would always buy it in August 4th when it came out. We would always pre-order it, to be exact. And this year, just being able to get it for free now, since they give it to us as NFL players, and it was just cool.
I love it. Rookies are always the ones most excited about free stuff. April wants to know, which of your teammates do you hang out with the most, and what kind of hobbies do you have outside of football?
I would just say the tight ends, you know, in general. We always stick together, and, you know, we will get together for dinner sometimes, you know, those type of things. Me and Alan, you know, we hang out a lot. So, you know, those are just the guys that I'm always around the most. So they're my boys, and we're always together.
And the hobbies that you have outside of football?
Madden. You know, I just love to play Madden from when I'm not studying film. That's probably one of the things I have time to do, so just play Madden.
Nice. Ed wants to know, how do you set goals for the year, and what are they this year?
I usually set goals for myself as things like, what can I get better at? You know, I don't really do it as far as like statistical things. I just want to become a better run blocker, run better routes, you know, things like that. Those are my goals so far this year. Like, for instance, I want to become a complete tight end by the end of the year, be able to say, hey, I do a really good job in the run game as well as the passing game. And I think once you set goals like that, all the other things will come, like the touchdowns, the pancakes, all those will come. So those are just some of the goals I have for this season.
And it sounds like you might need to start setting some goals for some celebrations.
Yeah, I do. I got to get better.
You got to get better. Did you get in the film room and watch this, and it just didn't go real well?
It didn't go well. The guys were thinking about fines.
So, that was another fine area you had.
So I need some people on the radio today to call in and give me some ideas.
All right, this is it. Everyone need to send the celebration ideas now that the rules are more relaxed. And so what did you attempt, in case people like me did not know what you were going for there?
So my first touchdown celebration when I scored was I faked the slam dunk on the goalpost, because it is a fine in the NFL rule book this year. So I was like, all right, I can't do that.
But
so
you did fake it on purpose.
But I'm going to fake it on purpose and then spike the ball. So that was everybody understood that.
Yep.
The second touchdown, people, however, did not understand the celebration. It was basically like I was playing hot potato with the football, but the guys in the tight end room didn't agree with it. Took too long to figure out what it was, so fine.
That's it. Yep. Explain it. You got to find it.
Yep.
I was wondering when I saw you going up for the dunk, I was worried you'd forgotten. Then you I thought in midair you realized and stopped. That's good to hear that it was on purpose. Mm-hmm. I respect that. All right. So who is your roommate on the road?
Chris Godwin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are anything weird, you guys as roommates, anything that you've had to learn or save for each other, stuff you guys do?
You know, we never said it, but now we kind of figured it out. So sometimes you'll get in the room first. I will, or he will get in the room first with the card. He always takes the farthest bed to the window, you know, the closest bed to the window. I always take the bed closest to the door. So we always have to do that. I mean, we both know now. I think one time we switched it up and it was maybe a preseason game we lost. And then that day, we just kind of looked at each other like, all right, this is your bed. This is my bed for the rest of the year.
And it's sort of a superstitious thing?
Yeah, it has to be, because every time when he comes in the room first, he knows where to go. If I go first, I'm like, all right, I'll take this one. I won't even mess with it.
That is so funny. Yeah. So are you superstitious?
I am. For a long time, I feel like if I have a really good game or something, if I wore a certain sock or something, I'll wear it every game. But I do wear the same socks every game. I'll make sure I put those in the laundry bags so I can get those back instead of getting new ones.
Same socks every time?
Every time.
All right. What? Anything else? Any weird things or pregame routines, things like that?
Oh, no, not really.
Okay. So it's really just socks.
Just wardrobe stuff.
Specific superstition.
Yep. Socks and same, not same cleats, but just same socks. You know, just the same kind of gloves, those type of things like that.
That's pretty funny. All right, and next week is Halloween. Are you a Halloween guy?
I'm not.
Did you dress up as a kid?
Football player every year. Every year.
If only we could all end up turning into our Halloween costumes someday.
Right.
That worked out pretty well. Are they going to make you dress up as a rookie? Is that a thing?
Let's not bring that up.
All right. Yeah. So now we should all bring it up. All the people listening in. All right. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us, OJ.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for being with us. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll see you back here for Coach's Show Friday afternoon. Buccaneers Total Access with OJ Howard, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.